Well, there's one thing that with all that's going on in these times and everything that people, you see people going through, good, bad, or whatever. I have just been more and more fortified that Jesus is Lord. I mean, it's just, the Word of God is true. I'm just more settled now than I have ever been settled in that fact. And walking in that light, hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. We're teaching this morning, we're going back again in our teaching on sanctification. I don't know how I'm going to come back. I just, unless the Lord changes it while I'm gone, because there's a lot of things about it. And I don't know about, for you. It's been a good study for me going over and things in this. One of the things that we're looking at when we're talking about sanctification, and I said from the beginning, most people at times that sanctification is taught, it's approached from the side of, you know, telling people what they should and shouldn't be doing. And that is part of sanctification. You can do it. But, you know, just telling people not to do or to do things, have you noticed lots of times it don't change a whole lot? Is one of the things is finding out. Is one of the things that the Lord, you know, said to me is this was many years ago, when, and I had used this before, and he said to me, he said that his people, he said, many times live a lie. And I thought, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, they don't live by what they really are. Lots of times the Christian don't know what they are. You know, the Bible tells we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Many people are Christians. They want to live a righteous life. But you know what? They're preached to like they're not righteous. They're preached to like they're trying to get righteous. You're not trying to get righteous. You are. Because you are righteous, you can live righteous. But if you're not righteous, you'll never live righteous. A sinner will never live righteous. He can, no matter how he works at it, no matter how he tries, he cannot live righteous. He can't do it. Now, the saint has the ability. It is because of the of what they're born, then their nature. Our nature is righteous. We have been sanctified by God. We have been set apart by God specifically. We were born into a family. We looked at the fact of, you know, the Bible tells us that we're priests. We're a royal priesthood. How do we become priests of God? The priests of the old company of the Old Testament had to be born into a family of people, and only that family could be priests. Well, it's the same way in the church. The church world, the ones who are born into Jesus Christ, are priests of God. They're born into... If a person is not born into the family of God, they cannot be a priest of God. They can't be. You have to be born into it. See, so you have the types and the shadows of the Old Testament we were looking at. God had a temple in the Old Testament. It was a building. We were separated unto God and we were made the temple. We're the priest now and the temple. Hallelujah. You don't get no better than that, see? You have been separated to this. God specifically chose us for this purpose. Anybody who gets born again is chosen for this purpose. They're set into it. Separated by God specifically. Made holy. You know, it's just like a Christian. We want to live holy lives. We want to live separated lives. Well, number one, that's your nature. It is your nature to live that way. But see, if you're taught, and I see it, I still hear it today. People say, well, you know, we're just still old sinners saved by grace. Well, no, I'm not. If you're an old sinner, you're going to hell. You're born again, child of God. You were a sinner, but you're not anymore. You're a child of God. Sin is not your nature. The reason Christians today live in so much sin is because their pastors have taught them to live in sin. They've told them, you're just going to sin. You're just going to, people say things like, you're not perfect. Well, none of us never thought we were. Perfection is not by works, it's by faith. You know, you can live a life by faith, walking and following God. He ain't sitting around looking at your mistakes all the time and things. The only people that do that are the ministers. They're sitting around looking at mistakes and then criticizing and telling the people, you ain't going to make it. I'm sorry, you're going to make it. Jesus has decided you're going to make it. See, we got to get away from this preaching that leads to sin. It leads to sin. It makes people that, well, you just can't arrive. Well, if I ain't going to arrive, why am I trying? Why am I even working at this thing? But see, we see ourselves as God made us. Every believer, every believer in this earth sits in a higher place of authority than any leader of any nation in this world today. And see, what mostly the church preaches what the world does. You know, we look at world leaders. We think, oh, America, you know, if we don't get the right president, you know, God's done. You know, you gotta have, you know, we're just going, if you don't get the right person in office, this is what's gonna make it work. Last time I read the Bible, it says God raises up kings and takes them down. But you know what? You know why they can't in America? Because the American church don't believe it. They believe all this stupid preaching that has preached nothing but failure, and God ain't big enough unless we can make everything work out so He can make things work out. I'm gonna tell you, if He can't make it work out, He's not God and He's not worth following. He's big enough. One of the things the Lord really dealt with me today, He said, the church gotta stop asking and start shouting and praising God, acting like I'm gonna do something. We're not acting by faith. The church is doing too much whining, calling it prayer, complaining to God about the problems. Instead of saying, praise God, God's on the throne, hallelujah. He's God, He really is God. Is He God? Is He bigger than America? Is He bigger than Russia? Is He bigger than China? Well, not in most of the American church, He's not. They're all much bigger. He's bigger. Hallelujah. And see, we gotta get, He's bigger, He's bigger. He's gonna take care of us. He's going to take care of us. Hallelujah. I done read the book. He said He will. Hallelujah. He has a future that's prepared for you and I. Glory to God. It's not prepared by man. Somebody else hasn't set your destiny. God has. God has established your destiny. And He established your destiny before the foundation of the world. It is set in the heart of God. People say something's set in stone. Mine's set in God. It's bigger than any stone. It's harder than any stone. It'll endure forever. No stone will. Hallelujah. It is set. And so we need to walk in the light of that. I want to look today, we're going to look back into another thing in the Word we want to look at concerning the Old Testament priesthood, because it's a type and shadow of what the church has, but I tell you, the church has the good. We have the real. They had a type and a shadow of something that was, they dealt with the priesthood, and we want to look at the anointing oil that they used in the temple because it's symbolic concerning us today. I want to go back to Exodus. I'm going to read to you from Exodus, the 30th chapter. In Exodus, the 30th chapter, we're going to start in verse 25. And this is what God is saying, because we're going to find out as we teach on this, these things that were symbolisms at that time, and we see it, where really the church is the perfection of these things. We have in here, and in verse 25, it says, "And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all of its utensils, the lampstands and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy." Now you need to know nothing about the things of God. If we're not holy, we could not touch the things of God. Now we must be holy that we can touch the things of God, because Jesus told His disciples, He told them what was going to happen to them. He said, "You guys, you're going to be able," you know, He was going to talk about the future. He was going to be crucified. He said, if you guys ask the Father anything in My name, He'll give it to you. Well, see, what was going to happen? We were going to become priests. Man was going to become priests of God. We were going to become the temple of God. If you weren't holy, you couldn't be the temple of God. You could not be the temple of God. Now, being perfect and acting right all the time, you don't lose holy. And we know you don't, because Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, that bunch of backslidden buzzards, you know, they acted like us sometimes. Those guys weren't doing the right things. And what did he write to them and said, "Don't you guys know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you?" He told them more than one time. He didn't say, "No, you guys are sinning, so you're not the temple. Forget it. You ain't holy." Do you know you're holy? You have to be, or you couldn't be the temple of God. The Spirit of God won't live in something unholy. Amen. Now, we may have acted unholy at times, but that don't mean you, the born again you, is not holy. See, you've got to talk about yourself in a right manner. You'll never live any better than you believe you are. You'll never live to any higher standard than you believe you are. The church, I've said this many times, the church is like the world. They're trying to call the ladder of success. We don't call the ladder of success. We started at the top. The church started at the right hand of God. It ain't started somewhere down here and we're trying to get there. That's what we teach today because there's too much education in the church. We've used education and brought it in, got so smart, we messed ourselves all up. The Bible's so simple, you'd have to get brainwashed to not understand it. It is so easy to sit down and read it and see how simple it is. Hallelujah. You're seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. That's where you're at. How high are you going to go? You and Lucifer going to take over the throne? What is it? You're at the top. You're at the place of the authority. Jesus said, all authority is heaven and earth has been given to me. And the Bible tells us you're in Christ Jesus. You going to get any more authority? Can it be had? Is there any more authority in this earth and all authority in heaven and earth? Is there any more to be had? Well, no, there's no more to be had. We're at the top. What you and I are supposed to do is this. I thank God I learned as a young Christian was this. God has already established everything for me. What I need to do, and the Bible's about me finding out about what belongs to me. That's what the Bible's about. The Bible isn't trying to make me holy. Jesus Christ done did that. The Bible's not trying to sanctify me. I am sanctified. The Bible's going to teach me how to live it, how what belongs to me, and I can live like the king and the priest, the royal priesthood. Hallelujah. So I can live it out. That's what the Bible's going to do. The Bible's going to teach you what you are, that you can live like what you are. Hallelujah. So we want to find out. You know, the church is running around trying to get blessed. The Bible says you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, my only problem is this. I don't know all the blessings yet. I'm still studying and find, oh my God, I didn't know that before. I didn't know this. See, we're already blessed. We're not trying to get blessed. We're already blessed. God's not going to bless you someday. Get over it. He already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Could there be another one? Is there a hidden one someplace that Jesus didn't even get? No, there's not. See, what we're trying to do, we go to the Word to find out what He did for us. What we are. The place He raised us to. That's what we're looking for. The church isn't doing that. The church is a book, has used a book as a thing of do's and don'ts and try to stay away from this and try to stay away from that. And if you mess up, then you gotta grovel to God to try to get it fixed. Instead of coming boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. No, let's whine for 6 years over it. Then if I really whine a lot and cry a lot, then He'll think I'm really sorry. That's religion. And the church world's filled with religion. I know, I was raised in it, man. I was raised and watched all that stuff go on all the time. Everybody's trying to please God. We all want to please God from the sin by following and walking in His way. But people through their works are all trying to please God. They're trying to keep God happy. This God that's just on the verge of being miserable. He's right there at that point. He's ready to slap you. And you're just trying to keep everything under control so He don't reach down and knock you out. You know? You know, it's like sitting at a table as a kid. See, I had a bad spot. I was the youngest of nine. They went from young. My mom sat over here. My dad sat here. And I was the youngest. I sat here in this corner. And they went around to the oldest, the other side. See, I was the closest. My dad was one of those. He used to use the butter knife and smack you on the ear over here like this. So I was the closest. You had to really behave at that spot. Because if Dad was having a bad day, he could easily get me. And boy, I'll tell you, you'd hear a ringing sound for weeks after he took see, those old butter knives weren't like a cheap junk today. And there was nothing was hollow. That was all good old stainless steel. And he'd take he didn't slap you with the end you buttered. He used a handle. go, pow, it hits you that bone right here, and you just go, nee, ee, ee, you know? Well, I'll tell you, straighten you out quick. One or two times of that, and I wanted to move. I got to get older quick. We got to get moved away from this. Well, you know, a lot of people, God's like that. They look at God in that manner. Hallelujah. Well, we need to get the Word of God will teach us. You know, God's not out to get us. He's not out to harm us. Now, we have here, and look at this thing that, you know, this oil that they have here, this altar, they took this thing. He said, you'll consecrate. So they're consecrating everything, even the priest. And he told them, I want you to listen to this. They consecrated Aaron. So everything inside, verse 30, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons. So they're anointed with this thing. Now, only things that are holy. You know, Aaron and them became, when they were anointed with this, they became holy. They were anointed, they became holy. And they were the only ones allowed to touch the things. This is why, see, people don't realize, people talk about how glorious and how wonderful that the temple was in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple. Well, nobody saw it inside except the priest. Nobody else got to look in there. Nobody else was allowed to go inside. The only place they got to go was the outside where the altar was, where all that there fire burning flesh and smelling blood. That's where everybody went to. They went to that stinky spot. Inside, see, that's the church world today. You stay at the stinky spot, you know? You're never gonna quite make it. You're never good enough. God has you on the outside. No, we're the temple of God. We're the holy. We're the place God lives. Well, see, the priest went inside. The priest could touch all those things in the inside. None of those were unholy to them. But they were unholy to the people out there. They weren't allowed to touch it. So they turn around. He said, consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. And so see, and also with us now, since we're the priesthood of God, we want to minister. So we minister as priests to God. He said, and you shall speak to the children of Israel saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it according to the composition. It is holy and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it or whoever puts any of it on an outsider shall be cut off from his people. See, this anointing oil. Now you need to understand, what's this anointing? See, the oil was a representation of the Holy Spirit. The priests were set aside. If we go to the New Testament, we have here, like John wrote in 1 John 2:20, he said, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. You have an anointing. See, we have this. That oil was a type of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what it was. Now you need to understand this. When he made the statement down here at the end, you don't just put this on anybody. If they're not in the priesthood, they can't have it. No sinner has the Holy Spirit. No one who is not born again has the Holy Spirit. Cannot be. Will never happen. Just like with them, you didn't anoint anybody who wasn't in that priesthood family. They could not be anointed. They were not allowed to have it. Only the ones that were born into that family, who were the Levites. That's it. No outsiders can have the anointing. We're going to look. New Testament teaches the same thing. See, the church world makes God sort of today. He's a generic God. And, well, everybody is God's children. No, they're not. If everybody is God's child, everybody comes from, we would go back to Adam, everybody comes from there. But we're not all God's children. The Bible signifies it clearly. I mean, Jesus even told the Pharisees, he said, your father's the devil and you do his will. He didn't say, God's your father like everybody. The only people who are done saying that are sinners and Christians who act like sinners, who think like sinners. They'll walk around saying that stuff. No, you're not. You were born into a family. The Bible tells us you're a nation of people. See, we don't consider ourselves, we consider ourselves just like everybody else. No, we're not. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're not like everybody else. When Jesus Christ comes, we're the only nation of people who leave. No one else does. We need to understand these things. This is why we're inviting people along. Today, it's going to be a horrible thing when Jesus shows up and the church is going to leave. Because I'm going to tell you, just hundreds and hundreds of millions of people are going to think, how come I didn't go? Because they have done been lied to by ministers, have been lied to. Lied and lied and lied to. Nobody told them the truth. But God just loves everybody. Sure does. Hell is full of people God loved. But they're still in hell. They weren't born into the family. You got to join the family. Nobody gets to heaven without being in the family. And we need to tell people. You know, it's not the fun message to tell. It's not people. Today, you know, we always run around, make everybody happy. How well has that worked? I'm going to tell you what, they're already mad at you. You might as well tell them the truth. Because if you don't, the Holy Spirit could never convict them of sin. And they can never be saved. Christians are going to be in big trouble in America for not preaching the truth. Trying to keep the peace. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. And the church is running around, you know, kumbaya, you know, doing everything but what Jesus said. We need to preach the truth so people can hear. So the Holy Spirit can do His work. Hey, I didn't like Christians before I got saved. I didn't like none of that. I got tired of that Christian stuff when I was a kid and watched all that religious junk going on, thought it was insane, and I was right. It was insane. But somebody came and preached the truth to me. I heard the truth. And the truth will make you free. See, we got the best message in town, but we're afraid people don't like it. Some ain't going to like it. Some are going to love it. Hallelujah. But nobody's going to love it if we don't preach it. If we don't tell people the truth. You know, we were singing here about, you know, Jesus is the only way of salvation. Ain't nobody under that air of religion going to heaven, whether you like it or not. Right now, in America, about 40% of people who say that they're born again believe that people will go to heaven even if they don't accept Jesus. They're in the church. Say they're born again. I don't know what they're born again of. I don't know what they got. It ain't mine. It ain't the same birth I got. But we find out we have an anointing. John also wrote in John in 2:27, he said, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. I just want to read that part. The anointing you have, he's talking about the Spirit in you. You have the Spirit in you. The Spirit could not be in you if you were not separated by God and you were not holy. You could not have the anointing in you. The Holy Spirit will not live in a place that is not holy. I'm not talking about your flesh. I'm talking about your spirit, your human spirit. You're born again. Your inner man, your spirit, the real you is not what you see on the outside. You know, we get to heaven, you know, we're all going to look good. Do you know that? We're all going to look good. It's amazing. I mean, how's God do that? I don't know. He's God. But we're all going to look good. You know? I've listened to some things that different people called up to heaven and seen different people and they talked about, but you know, you'll get to heaven and find out, man, there's a bunch of ugly people up there. I'll tell you what, we're all going to look good. Ain't that nice? Hallelujah. And we ain't going to have to try to keep up appearances, you know. That'll be real nice, won't you? You ladies will enjoy that, won't you? You'll have to go through all this rigmarole you have to go through. My God. I always kid Wanda about it because I just tell her, I said, I must really be good looking. I said, I have to put all that stuff on. I said, the real reason is I don't care. I don't care. People don't like it, too bad. You got to look at it. I don't. I just stay away from mirrors. Praise God, huh? Hallelujah. But see, the anointing oil for the priesthood was a representation of the Holy Spirit. That's what it was, a representation of the Holy Spirit. Now we need to understand about the Holy Spirit within. We become the temples of God. And we want to look at that today. You know, I want to go over the thing and look at it in John. We're going to go back to the Gospel of John because we want to talk about the new birth of what we became. How did we become holy? How did we become this separate from God? How did we become this righteous? How does it take place? What does it do? Because understand, we're the temple. Just think, out of all the glory, if we took the temple that was in Jerusalem that Solomon made, really, it was a wonder, it was a world wonder in the day that it was made. I mean, people came from nations all around would come just to see that temple. It was a glorious thing. But you know what? That wasn't God's final intent. The glory that God thought was glorious was going to be the born-again human spirit that he was going to live in. See, we're still moved today more by outward appearance than what we are on inward from the standpoint of the glory that we have within us. Think about this. The church in its search for glory, when believers are running around looking for power, they're looking for glory, they're looking for this, they're looking for that, God's living in us. Why would I be in a search for power if God's living in me? God isn't out there. I don't pray to a God out there. God lives in me. I'm not, people around, well, we're searching for God. What? I never understood it. They write books about searching for God. Christians! And if you've got a big enough name, you can sell a million copies of it like that. Make money like crazy. Selling people stuff that ain't even true. But Christians have bought the ticket that they're in a search for God. If you're in a search for God, you're not saved. If you're saved, God moved in. He took residence. I like something Kenneth Hagin used to say. He said, you know, the Holy Ghost ain't some hitchhiker in you. Just go along for the ride. You know, that's not what he is. He's inside of you. Jesus specifically said, look, I'm leaving, but I'm asking God to send you the Holy Ghost when I leave. You're going to need this guy. And told us what he would do. Having the Holy Spirit in you is identical to having Jesus Christ in him. Any believer who doesn't know the Holy Spirit well does not know Jesus well. You can't know Jesus well and not know the Holy Spirit. That's why it says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. It don't say as many as are led by Jesus. Do you know that? The church don't believe that. They never read the book. They just pass on things. I know Jesus by the Holy Spirit. I got to know what Jesus is like by the Holy Spirit. I know Jesus through the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't know it any other way. I wouldn't know him any other way. The Holy Spirit has taught me. The Holy Spirit has shown me. The Holy Spirit has led me. That's how I know Jesus. So I know what Jesus would do because Jesus is up there sitting at the right hand of the Father. For me to know Jesus, I need to have the Holy Spirit's given. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter. That word another means one of the same kind or one just like me. Jesus, the Holy Ghost is just like Jesus. You have just like Jesus in you. You have God just like Jesus in you. That's what you got. You have it in you. Now think about that. Let that become, you know, we need to meditate on these things so those things become real. It will change a lot of searching in people's lives. You know, people are saying, well, yeah, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, you know, God just doesn't always show us everything and he don't teach us everything. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost is going to take whatever's mine. He's going to show it to you. See, people, one of the reasons you're going to have in your life what you believe. That's what you ain't going to have no more than what, I don't care. God has everything in the world. Every blessing has been given to you. You can live a life and have none of it because of what you believe. See, people, well, God don't, you know, we're just so limited. I found out when Ed gets limited, it's because Ed became limited. God never did. When Ed becomes unlimited in his thinking and unlimited in his believing, then his life gets unlimited. But that's the only way it works. I'm the gateway of what God can do for me. He is not. It is my will determines how far he can go with me. It's like when the Lord talked to me back in 2004, some things about finances. I said, well, Lord, how far would I go with this? He said, this has nothing to do with me. How far are you going to want to go? This is up to you what you want to do. I said, oh, okay. You know, because everybody's trying to, you know, it's hard to think. We live in a world that naturally has limits. And most of the time people follow the world's traditions and establish limits on themselves. The things we should establish limits concerning our flesh, we don't. The things we can be limitless, we set limits on. Religion always sets limits. Always. Religion will always set limits how far you can go with God. And how God can go with you. I have met many people over the years who, they weren't ministers, big name, anything. Some of the most spiritual people I ever met. Those people who knew God, walk with God. Big name ministers people marvel over don't even know half or a quarter what they do about God. But see, people are moved by the outward of what people have and things like that. They marvel by those things. To me, it just amazes me when you run into somebody that really knows God. You know, I don't know about you, it just makes me want to follow them around. You know, I got to find out what they know. So you find out somebody really knows God. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. Do you know why most Christians never grow? Christians always head for the place, the guy with who are the dullest. You know, I just want to know a little bit more than they do, so it makes me feel a little bit better. But Christians usually don't head for somebody who knows more than they do. They'll always head for somebody that knows less. I'm always looking for somebody that knows more. I like to get around people who know more. I found this out. I'm going to know more. Till this is done, I will know more. So you got to learn that. See, we like to be the place where we feel like we're the smart guy. Well, you're the smart guy if you head for the guy who's smarter yet. You're the smart guy. You're not the smart guy if you're always looking for the people who knows a little bit less than you. My God, I always think about it, somebody less than me, they're in trouble and I am too. I remember when I was a young Christian and heard Kenneth Hagin say, he said one time, he said, talked about it. He said, I'd hate to think I'd go to heaven this stupid. He said, what about you? I thought, oh, he's right. Dear Lord, I got a little bit more than I do now. Oh, hallelujah. I want to read to you here in John the third chapter. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And Jesus says this. We're going to read a third chapter. I'm going to start at verse 3. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again. Let me say about this. You look, it's like, and my Bible has a note on it. And it says on there that could be translated born from above. That's one of the things that I was never settled on, this thing, born from above thing. Because for something that's, I've learned this over the years. I don't care what somebody tells me something that's translated. If on the inside it just don't seem right to me, you got to find, there's something that we're missing here on this. Something's not right. Is it that or not? Well, in actuality, the word that is there actually has four different areas of meaning that it has. One of them could mean above. Now they add from above, but is added to it. But really, most of it is the idea of something that's born again or something that's made anew. And one of the things, you know, over the years I would read down through this, and I found this out. You're going to learn. You have the Holy Spirit in you. I don't care how much and how smart He is in you. You know, He's not going to respond to you lots of times. Do you ask Him questions? You know, the Holy Spirit in you, we don't pray to Him. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's what we pray to. But you can ask Him questions. He lives in you. He's in there to teach you. And so I got over asking him about this. There's one thing is he reminded me of something I heard said many years ago about letting the Bible interpret itself. Allow the Bible to interpret itself rather than, you know, and I found this out over the years. I have a couple different translations of the Greek and that stuff, and I sit down, look, I'm not a Greek scholar by no means. I don't know. In fact, I was told by a man who they called a Greek scholar, Dr. Roy Hicks. I mean, he taught Greek for years and he was all that. He said there's no such thing as a Greek scholar because he said the Greek that the Bible was written in is a dead language. He said you couldn't have a scholar because there's a lot about the language we don't know. But today we have 15 million Greek scholars who think they are. Anyhow, people come along with things and their ideas, and we do that, thank God, you know, and I sit down and I read things. But somehow nothing ever settled with me in this, because the only way I get settled on something is when I understand it from a scriptural standpoint. Then I'm settled on it. And one of the things with it is looking at this, is the Lord spoke to me to read it in its context. Because he said, unless one here, it says in King James, is born again, he said he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, the Holy Spirit showed me that. He said, if I was saying born from above, why did Nicodemus make that statement? Well, see, Nicodemus heard him say, was talking about being born again. His response was, and we're going to find out Jesus' response, responds right back in with it. Jesus responded, and Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So he took back over, went to the thing to birth. They're talking about a birth. See, Jesus, the Bible tells us, is the firstborn from the dead. It doesn't say he was the firstborn from above, does it? He was the firstborn from the dead. See, the Bible tells us he was the firstborn. I don't know when my number was or where you, but somewhere along the line, we were one of the number that came in. And with the day that we came and accepted Christ, we at that time became born again. Or we were born from the dead, from spiritual death to spiritual life. See, when Jesus took your sin and my sin and the sin of humanity, he took the sin nature upon himself. He died spiritually. And he had to be born again spiritually. He was the firstborn. If he wasn't, then you couldn't be either. He was. And because you're in him, it's amazing what he did. All we do is believe in his work, and God considers that you and I did what he did. God considers that you died for your sin. You've already paid the penalty for it. If he didn't, you're going to have to. God considers you died for your sin because you believed on Jesus. Say, well, how could he do that? I don't know. I don't care. It says we did. Say, how does it work? I don't know. I can't stand these people trying to figure all this stuff out because they don't. They always get it wrong and get into extremes. Just accept it. If the Bible says I believe on Jesus, I'm saved, that's all I need. If you need more than that, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get into sin before you know it. You'll have some crazy doctrine you'll be running around preaching to people that don't make a bit of sense. I don't know how he did it, but whatever Christ did and we believed on his work, we got all the benefit. He took all the punishment, we got all the benefit. I don't know, I ain't going to try to turn it around or change it. I'm going to take it for what it is and enjoy it. Hallelujah. So let's just take a hold of that. We find here, but Jesus made this statement when we read here. He said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He didn't say that which was from above. He didn't say none of that. He didn't say any of those things. He's talking about birth. I just don't understand why people today, and there's a lot of them touchy, they don't like to hear the word born again. I think it's because the Bible says it. Because actually the oldest translations and the oldest manuscripts say born again. The oldest manuscripts that we had. I guess people don't like it. I'm just going with it. I'll tell you, I'm just old fashioned. Let me alone. I'm having a good time, me and Jesus, and, you know, we're just going to head in that direction. He said, Jesus said, look, don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. He said, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it and cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is one thing about it. You get born of the Spirit, from a natural standpoint, like with me, when I got born again, I mean, people could not figure me out. Because, I was totally Mr. Flesh before I got born again. I totally lived over there. You got born again, they couldn't tell where I was and where I was going to. I was like, this is a whole different thing. We need to know as Christians, this is one of the things you really need to realize and understand what you really are as a Christian. If the sinners can understand you, it's because you're not living a life in the Spirit. See, we're trying to make churches today that make sinners into the place where they can understand everything that's going on. They ain't supposed to. They're supposed to want something different. If they are only going to come and get what they already got, why would they want to come? You don't realize how many people out here that you see around and you think men are terrible would love to have a changed life. But the church don't have one to offer them. Because the people sitting in the church believe they're just as much of a hellion as a guy outside. They see themselves in the same light as the people on the outside. They want to join a different group. They want something different. We need to offer them something different. Why do people, through all the years, every New Year's, you know, people want to turn over a new leaf? If people want their same old dirty lives, why are they trying to turn over a new leaf every year? They're looking for something to turn over to. And the church is not the place, because the church, they're in the same mess they're in. They're not walking around, you know, 2020. You know, you could turn on the church, turn on the TV and listen to the whining church, griping church, all the problems going on. God's dead now. You know, the government's their problem. No, they weren't. They were their problem. They weren't shouting and praising God. Well, you're in the middle of trouble. Paul said, I glory in tribulation. Well, not in the church today. You don't glory in tribulation. You get a little trouble. You whine all the time. That's what you do. You complain all the time. Get out there and blame somebody. You know, this governor did this to me, and this guy did this, and this guy did that. Shout and praise God. God is my God. Not somebody else, what they're doing. Hallelujah. We should have been shouting through 2020. We should have been praising God through 2020. But we didn't. We cried in tribulation instead of glorying. Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. And we said, when I'm weak, that's when I whine. See, it's good preaching. Whether people like to hear it or not, I can just tell you why things don't work. That's why I tell you, God wants the church to get a shout. He's tired of hearing prayers whining. He wants to hear a shout. We got to get the shout back in the church. I like that. You read in the Old Testament. Said in Jerusalem, they got shouting so loud it said the nations heard them. Dear Lord, over in Moab heard them. The dear Lord, them big mouth Jews are over there praising their God. What kind of idiots are they? Oh, I could see CNN, ABC, and all the rest of them. Just, oh my God, you hear about that church over there? We got to quiet them down. Today most churches are like a graveyard. Place you go into, act like, you know, put on some religious thing and smile and everything else, you know, act real like you're holy, and then go out and be just like everybody else and don't give a rip till the next week to whatever. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I'm excited. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't have to be afraid of nothing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, we're going to talk about this born again, because one's born again, what? We need to look at this because Jesus made this statement. Here's things that I often wondered was, because he said those who are born of the water and the Spirit. Well, people had all kind of opinions. You know, I went to Bible school, and in Bible school they told us, you know, different opinions that people had. Well, opinions are like your nose. I mean, everybody got a nose and different ones. I'm sure it don't matter. My opinion, I'm not really interested in. I have a lot of opinions on a lot of things, but there's a lot of my opinions that have been proven wrong over the years. So just, it really don't matter. And, but I was wondering, what is it with water and the Spirit? Because, you know, people say, well, the water's talking about, and they had the belief, people had the belief, it's talking about the breaking of water when a child is born into the earth, and born of water and the Spirit, and those kind of things, what it's talking about. Well, they say that, and I never believed it, and then what people say was water baptism. Well, you can't be saved. I used to think, well, you can't be saved by water baptism. And just the fact of Jesus making the statement, getting into the kingdom of God, unless he is born of water. And I thought, well, is anybody born any other way? If they're talking about an actual physical birth. Are there people in the earth who haven't been born that way? Maybe, did they have test tube babies back then, maybe? And some of them weren't going to heaven. I don't know. Anyhow, and I was just there, I thought, well, that doesn't make any sense. It can't be talking about that. Because everybody, every human being comes into the earth born in naturally. There was a guy named Adam. And he was created, but even Jesus himself came through a woman. So, everybody is. So I said, he couldn't have been talking about that, that was a qualification. If that's a qualification, I mean, then everybody qualified for that. So, he can't be talking about water and the Spirit. And it's one of the things we talk about is water to spirit, because we need to understand this. Many times in dealing with the areas of things talking about, one of the things is Nicodemus didn't understand this because he wasn't thinking of spiritual-wise. He wasn't being spiritual. The water here is not talking about something natural water. It's talking about the Word of God. The Word of God through the New Testament is talked about as water. You can't get born again without the Word. Remember Paul wrote in Romans? Why does God anoint preachers? It says, you know, because if they don't preach, how can they be saved? People can't come to faith without the Word. You can't do it. Also, people cannot be born again without the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to be born again. Number one, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. And we want to look at this because the Holy Spirit is the agent who reveals the Word. He's the revealer of the Word. That's what He does. It's one of His jobs. And so we need to understand that. And Ephesians 5:26 says, listen to what it says here. In 5:26 it says that He might sanctify and cleanse her, speaking of the church. This is the church, her. He used the term her here because he was talking to husband and wife, and he took about the husband and he's dealing with the wife, and he says concerning that church, he used the church, he says, cleanse her, how? With the washing of the water by the Word. Cleansing by the washing of the water by the Word. The Word is used as a cleansing agent. The new birth is about the cleansing. So it's the Word of God. In Titus 3:5 tells us that it's not by works salvation, it's not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Washing of regeneration. Renewing of the Holy Spirit. So a man is saved, or we could say born again, by the washing of the Word and the working of the Holy Spirit. That's how an individual gets born again. That's what God does. The Word of God. Understand, the Word always comes first. You learn this. It's one of the things you'll find for yourself. If you want to develop spiritually, the Word must always be first. The Holy Spirit will always reveal the Word first. Mostly in the church world, the charismatic church world, is always trying to go to the Spirit first. They want something of the Spirit first. They want a manifestation of the Spirit first. They want those things. The Word comes first. If you get things in order, then you will have the manifestations. The work of the... If the Word is not preached, you will not have manifestations of salvation. It won't happen. See, the church wants it. But now look, you need them both. See, one of the things we have, the church world does this, is where people mess up. They become all Word or all Spirit. You can't. They're both a ditch on either side of the road. The legalist, the Word. You got to have the Word. With no Spirit will always lead to legalism. Always. Then you get over here on this side, you get all Spirit and little Word. You get over here and there's the granola Christians, flakes and nuts. That's what you get over on that side. Then they both don't work. They both lead to extremes. And there's a balance in the middle of the road, and that's where you walk, because the Word and Spirit are needed together. They are needed together. If you separate them, you have an extreme that's not going to work. You're going to have problems. Listen, I want to read from John the 17th chapter. This is Jesus, a prayer. Jesus prayed. And this is prayed. Really, when we talk about the Lord's Prayer for the church, they always, you know, the one where He taught them to pray. But this is really the Lord's Prayer, because this is geared toward the New Testament saint. This prayer. And this prayer in John 17. But He said in verse 17, what did He say to do? Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth. How do people get sanctified? Sanctifying is a cleansing. It's a setting apart. It's a purifying. How is it done? It's done by the Word of God. The Word of God purifies you. One of the things to do, if you want to live a better, more sanctified life, which is very good. You might be sanctified, but we want to develop into that life. To live it. Live what I am. Go to the Word first. Get the Word in you. The Word will cleanse you. The Word, see, many people are just trying to, well, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Well, if thou shalt not would have worked, did it work for the Jews? Did the Jews need another covenant? Yeah, they did, didn't they? They needed another covenant. Thou shalt not didn't work. Thou shalt not. But see, when you turn around, you get over into the Word will cleanse you. The Word will start to work in you. Why? By the Holy Spirit. The Word doesn't work just in itself. The Holy Spirit's the teacher of the Word. He's the guide concerning the Word. And you get it into you, and I'll tell you one thing, you'll find yourself living differently. See, most people are trying to do it in reverse. I'm just trying to get it all right. I know this. You end up failing and failing. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you do it for 2 weeks and then you just throw the towel in and back over to where you were. You know? I've learned this over time. When my heart is ready to make a move into a situation, I can step into it. But if I don't get my heart in that position, I can go and try as many times as I want it. I learned about this as a sinner. After I got saved, I realized how it happened. You know, I quit. I used to smoke. And I mean, I smoked a lot, a couple packs a day or more. And when I decided, you know, a number of times I wanted to quit. You know, and I'd quit sometimes a day or two or something like that. And you'd try and you just back to doing it. You're just back on this thing. And there's something that happened to me, and when it happened, I wondered, even as a sinner, I wondered how to... One day, I was at work, and they put the cigarette machines, they come in and they put the price of the cigarettes 60 cents a pack. Well, today, that's a steal. I mean, people find for 60 cents a pack, they'd buy the whole machine. They would just, you know, they'd be so excited. But they got 60 cents a pack, it made me mad. And I said, I'll never smoke a cigarette again. And I never smoked a cigarette past that day. And you know what? I didn't go through a bunch of withdrawal or have a hard time at all. And that really, as a sinner, I wondered why. I thought, I tried loads of times to try to quit smoking. I tried loads of times to try to do that. But I never realized this till I got born again. What I did that day was not from my mind. It wasn't from my flesh. I made a statement from my heart. You need to understand this, folks. We have this idea that because a person's a saint or a sinner, sinners can bring things to pass just like saints can, saying words from your heart. We have it in the Old Testament. Jesus told them the Tower of Babel. Why did he change their language? He said, those guys down there, anything they set themselves to do, they'll do it. They're going to accomplish it. So what did he do? He changed their language so they couldn't agree with each other. See, what they were doing was from their heart. This is why things don't work, whether people with diets and everything else. People in their heart don't set themselves and ever get to... Most people are trying to do something and they keep trying to do it from the natural. And they don't get their heart into the place. And sometimes it takes your heart some time to get yourself to where you're ready. I know with myself, just to, you know, in my Christian walk, I learned there's some things sometimes that I wanted to believe God for a certain thing or move in a certain direction. Sometimes it took me time. Sometimes it took me months to get myself to a position. I knew that I was ready to make a confession of faith. I want to set this thing in motion. I knew that if I spoke from my heart, then it was going to come to pass. Too many Christians, most Christians walk around, they're frivolous in their talking. They just, they something they would like to have happen and they just say it. And I think because they said it. If it wasn't for your heart wasn't behind it. That's called wind blowing. And you're going to be judged for those things because we're going to be judged for every idle word. You know what an idle word is? It's a word without power. You go out here in my car, and when I start my car, it idles at 600 RPMs. Try to drive a car running at 600 RPMs. You don't get very far. If you're on a hill facing down, you might do well for down the hill, but that's it. You're not going very far. Is why? Because they're idle words. God wants us to speak words from our heart. That's a place of power. When I did that day, I found out what I did. See, I've been sitting inside of me for a long time. When I spoke that word that day and said I was never going to smoke again, another cigarette again, that came out of my spirit. That was not out of my mind. That day I spoke that, I put words of power as a sinner concerning quit smoking. See, most people, I found this out ministering to people over the years. I've already missed people. People come and ask for, you know, it's like they do have their smoking habit. They want to quit smoking. They'll say they want to quit smoking. And I know sometimes you lay hands on people. I found this out over the years. Numbers of times when I lay hands on a person if the anointing's moving, especially, I'll touch a person, I'll know some things. I usually know, I'll know something. It just, when I touch them. And so I've ministered right to people and they say they want to quit smoking. And when I touch them, I know they, in their heart, they don't really want to quit smoking. I know it when I touch them. It ain't going to work. You don't pray for them. I've had sometimes the people, I've talked to them. I said, let me ask you a question. You really want to quit smoking? And I've had people say to me, well, I like to smoke. I know I should do it. They say, well, I want to please God, but yet I don't really want to do it. And I tell them, when you're ready to stop, let me know. But we going through the motions ain't going to do any good. Amen. Going through the motions. See, many times people know they shouldn't be doing something, but they still haven't come in their heart yet. They want to quit. They haven't come in their heart yet. This is what we fight with. We fight with, that's why you go to the Word and begin to change what's on the inside. You go to the Word to change what's on the inside of you. We rush too much. We pray too quickly for people many times. We're praying too quick. It's where sometimes, you know, something serious happens, you gotta get praying right now. But lots of times, we don't need to be praying immediately. Lots of times people have time and they need to prepare. I mean, I've done it already with people for healing. You know, going to the hospital and stuff. Many times I've told people, you need to take time. What can you believe? They want to pray for. I'm going to the hospital. I'm going to have an operation done. Like, I'm going to go the next day and have an operation. And I know this. They're not ready of a place in faith to believe God for anything from it. They're going to have exactly what any sinner gets going through this operation. I know it. I know that it's going to happen. But if I know they will take time and they'll spend time with God in the Word and get their faith in a place, it'll work. I've told the story a lot of time. We had just with my wife and that stuff. We've learned it over the years of things, of having that. Wanda can go to the doctor. She can go to a doctor. Wanda can have an operation and she never has any pain after anything's over. Never has any pain. She knows how to stand in that. See, we've done it over the years. She knows how to do that. You know, and it always confuses them because they're there. You sure you don't have any pain? No, I ain't got no pain. You can believe God for that. See, wherever you're going to have what you believe. You know what? It don't matter what I pray over you. You're going to have what you believe. If you and I ain't believing on the same place, see, if people come along and see me, you know, I want this or I want that. Well, it's got a new, I don't care what you want. What can you believe? What can you believe you receive? That's what you want to find out. See, and there's no shame in the fact, going through the worst thing you can do is go through the motions to make somebody think that you're spiritual when you're telling them you're believing for something you can't believe for. Because you know why? God knows you're lying. You never stand before Ed Gibson at the Bema seat. You're not going to stand before Ed Gibson. You're going to stand before Jesus. As I learned it, what I can believe for, if I'm going to ask somebody to grieve with me, it's going to be on the basis of what I can believe for. I'm not going to tell somebody. I don't have to put on a show for nobody. I've learned over the years how to believe for a little bit and got a little bit, and that little bit led me the next time I could believe for more. And then the next time I could believe for more. But the people that are always trying to start at the top and they never even did it at the bottom, they're wasting their time. Faith is developed. You know, if you don't have a gift of faith go into operation, it's just you. And I don't want to be there. I want to be at the place where I can believe God. And we want to do that. We want to do that as believers. Be at a place where we're operating out of our inner man. It's like I was talking about cigarettes. I was a sinner, but yet I spoke words out. And when I understood that, after I got born again, I understood that. Getting words in your spirit, getting it inside of you, and you believe, then you speak. Say, whoa, things happen. Stuff takes place. That's why you find like some sinners are so powerful in areas of concern in their life. Very powerful. They've learned to do that. See, I was involved when I was a sinner. I was involved in sorcery and things. And I learned things about, is one of the biggest things that confused me was coming over among Christianity. I got born again. I'd already understood about things of the Spirit. So I got born again. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought, I was going to get around these Spirit-filled people. This is really going to be wonderful. And I got around Spirit-filled people. And the first thing I wanted to do was get out. I realized they knew very little things, hardly anything about the Spirit. They talked about it, but they really didn't believe in it. They didn't live like it was really true. They lived basically like everybody else. And you know, you get to church together, we talk about a great God, but we go home, he's in sleeping in bed there somewhere, and you can't wake him up. And you know, their lives are lived pretty much like it was. And I was really confused because, see, I learned how to make spirits manifest as a sinner. I could get demons to manifest. Well, that ain't no big deal. If Christians can't get spirit, get the Holy Ghost to manifest and do things, there's sure something wrong. But see, it's the whole thing is how you believe. I understood this. See, when I was involved in sorcery and things, we had the same thing as you have in Christianity. You need to understand, the spirit world all operates the same, whether it's God's kingdom or Satan's kingdom. They operate off of faith. Satan manifests when you put faith in him. You say the words about him, you believe in him, he manifests for you. That's why we have so much stuff today. People are saying things and doing things that are causing spirits to manifest. We have all these knucklehead shows on TV with all the demons and all that kind of stuff, and people running around chasing ghosts saying, well, Grandma showed up, she died and she's still in the house, and all this crazy stuff going on. They're demons, folks. Grandma's either in heaven or hell. That's where she's at. That's where humans go. There's demons in this earth. They're called familiar spirits. And they're familiar with the person. And they manifest. They know things about those individuals. And they'll manifest that stuff around. My God. Sorcerer. People in sorcery already know that. And the Christians don't. On TV. They have these guys on there. I watched one time. Just laughed. They're supposed to be Christians. And they're running around talking about people dying and still being here in the earth. And all some of that. Christians. I don't know what kind of Christians they are. They don't believe the Bible. You know, you can turn around and use the name of Jesus and still be the biggest knucklehead in town. You know, there's spirits out here moving around doing stuff. Spirits are doing things. But you get around here. I found this when you operate in faith. And so when I got around Christians, I felt they weren't operating faith. They weren't acting like the spirit realm is real. You see, I don't have to feel something to know that God's in me. The book says so. I done read it. The book says, you know what? I don't need a feeling. And you know what? I'm going to act like he's in me. When I pray, I act like the Holy Ghost's in me. I'm not on my knees trying to reach a God way out there somewhere. And maybe if I can yell loud enough, and maybe I'll wake him up. Or I'll do something. You know, I don't know if my prayers even reach to the ceiling. They ain't got to. God's inside of me. I don't have to reach the ceiling. God can hear me. The Bible says he'll respond to me quickly. But see, you gotta act like all that's real. People pray like they ain't getting a hold of God. They're praying. They get into trouble. They act like they're alone. They act like they're on their own. Until they see or feel something, they don't change at all what they do. Well, see, we had the same thing over in sorcery. We had a group of us who we believed this stuff was real, and we got manifestations. I mean, you ask my wife, you went to our house, demons would manifest. She'd tell you. We get stuff showing up. And when I got saved, they got mad. They were unhappy when I got born again. And you know what it took to get them out of the house? One night, about 10 minutes, and they got thrown out of the house. We didn't have to pray fast, chase around, do any kind of things, or do some rituals and go get some sage and burn it and walk through the house and get ourselves some crosses and holy water, you know, and do it all this thing. I'll never forget the stuff that's going on in the house. The Lord spoke to me. I'm a baby Christian. I'm only born again a couple of weeks. I'm at work. And the Lord says to me, you need to go home tonight and throw the devil out of your house. I said, that sounds good, but how do I do that? That sounds real nice. And he just goes, hey, told me, you go home, you tell him in the name of Jesus to leave. Well, I said, that really sounds good. Well, I'll never forget, I parked the car in front of the house, went up to the door, opened the door, and I'm going to tell you what, I didn't see a demon at the door, but I'm going to tell you what, power came out that door when I opened it. I'll tell you what, my flesh wanted to run back down and get in the car. I opened it up and it felt like every hair on my head. I did used to have more hair in those days. And it felt like every hair in my head and my whole body was just standing up. I was like this. At first I just sort of froze. But all of a sudden there was this on the inside. It was the real man on the inside. He got mad. Ed Gibson on the inside got, and all of a sudden, man, I found myself mad. I said, devil, You're going out of this house. And I walked in the door and started yelling at the devil. And you know what? He left. See, you do what you do from the inside, the inner man. Most people are doing what they're doing from the outside. But see, the whole thing is operation of faith. This is an operation of faith that we're in. We're acting, we're supposed to live and act like what the Bible says about us is true. Of what it says we are. See, the Bible says we're sanctified, set apart from God. Well, you ought to believe you're sanctified. You need to believe you're sanctified. If you don't believe you're sanctified, you ain't going to act very sanctified. It ain't going to happen. You need to come down and believe it. You're set apart by God. You've been made the temple of the Holy Ghost. I always hear people praying, asking God to go with them. Well, why would I pray and ask God to go with me? He's inside of me. Wherever I go, He's gone. I always say this. If I even go to the wrong place, He goes along. My God! I ain't asking God to go along with me. Jesus said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. Even if I'm stupid. I know I'm the only one that's ever done that. You're all just, you got halos and everything. And you never did stupid. I've done stupid and He was there. And He didn't say, I'm leaving. He was sort of wishing I would, but. But anyhow. we need to begin to live like these things are true, folks. These are real. This is what we are. We're set apart by God. We're going to go on and talk. We won't go any further in this today, but we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and what Jesus said. Familiar scriptures, we know. But what He said the Holy Spirit does in us, the working in us concerning our new birth, what we are in Christ Jesus, we need to come to the place. See, these things are not taught in the church, and it limits Christians and limits the power of God, of how God can move for believers. Because, you know, when I came into the kingdom, there was much more of these kinds of things were being taught years ago. You know, when I sit back and I look at 40 years ago, when I came in the kingdom, a lot of today, you know, they're talking about all kinds of things. Like now you go, there's so much talk. I mean, I almost hate to get emails from ministries I used to really like. Because they send you emails. They send these emails out. And they send these letter things out. And they're always talking to Christians like, well, yeah, we're going through tough times and we're going through hard times. It's like, we're always trying to make it. And I'm thinking, they think everybody's going under. I ain't going under. Don't send me a letter talking about, oh, you're just trying to get by. I don't need potted. I need somebody to kick me in the butt and tell me to get up. The whining church today with the whining pastors that know this. They'll send you a check if you pat them. Keep patting them, they'll send you a check. Keep playing sympathetic instead of pathetic. I don't need somebody patting me and telling me. I'll tell you what, it's just like with Paul's writing. He said, when you should have been teachers, now you're having to be taught. The church has backed up 20 years. I need somebody behind me kicking me to go forward, not stopping and saying, poor old Ed. I don't need that. I don't know about you. I don't need it. Because you know what? It's easy to fall into that. Oh, we're having, oh, 2020 was so terrible. And going into this year, 2020 terrible? Why don't you go in the rest of the world and see how they're living? Amen. My God, you'd be ashamed of yourself. I know, I've been in other countries. And when I come back, every time I come back to America, I think, my God, the American Christian, we ought to run all of them out to some other country and refuse to let them live here for at least 10 years. My God. We think we got problems. We don't have problems. I've been to people in places they got problems. And it wasn't here in America. You can ask this. I mean, if any ministry is going overseas, one of the hardest things to do is come back to America. After you've ministered overseas. America is the hardest place to preach. It is the hardest place to come and speak the truth. It's the hardest place to get demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. You got to get among the heathens to do it. You can't get it in the church. The church is the last place you go to get it. The church is the hardest place. Wow, we're so intellectual. We know so much. We're so smart. I don't care. It doesn't matter what Ed knows. It's what Ed lives. Does he live what he believes? The more I live what the Bible says, the more it manifests in my life. Hallelujah. The greater anointing to preach. I'll tell you what, I don't need another fluff message for me. Hallelujah. My God, Think about it, folks. Think about it. You're a royal priesthood. You're a king and a priest of God. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You have been sanctified and made holy by God. Oh my God! Just think about that. You talk about glory. You talk about glory. Oh my, my, my. You know, there's times at the temple they had in Jerusalem, there was manifestations of glory. But you know what? When the manifestation wasn't going on, the same glory was in the temple. God, that same God's presence was in that temple in between the cherubims. They had to come down there. All the Jewish men had to come down 2 times a year, present themselves to God. Just think about us. We don't ever have to present ourselves. God lives in you. God, I want to think about it. See, I don't believe we have a revelation of God in us. We learned to quote the scriptures. But the revelation, God is really living in me? God. See, now you need a revelation on it, because when we think about God, this big, awesome, powerful thing, how could anything like that be in me? Now, if it was, surely, I'd be different. People don't realize it's all on the basis of faith. What changes us is God does not manifest till we walk in light of what the Word says. Then the Holy Spirit manifests God. The Holy Spirit demonstrates the Holy Spirit. He's the power of God. It's in you. Could you get any more power than God the Holy Spirit? Is there more? Is there any more that we need? Do we lack somewhere in that? No, we don't. See, this is not to put people down. We need to come to a simple place. I realize, and I have to stop and say, God, you know, I just need some more believing. I need to get over to more where I'm believing what the Word says than I do. Lots of times I don't even need more revelation. I need to believe what I already know. I need to start acting like this one's true. Let's act like this is really real. I really do. I know God. Hallelujah. God's in me. When you get into trouble, God's in me. I mean, just think about it. I was thinking about this week, you know, just over in the areas. I was thinking about different things, you know, talking about praying about. And so, but I just got over it. I didn't feel like praying. I just got talking to God. And that's what He said to me. He said, people need to be saying a lot less. They need to worship, pray, and thank God, shout. He said, start acting like I'm a moving and quit yelling at me to move all the time. Act like I'm doing something and I'll do something. We're all getting in those areas. And I realized, you know, inside in my heart was like, I knew. Now, see, the internet's what the Holy Spirit said. I knew just praying and what we've been doing, it ain't enough. It isn't what He wants. He wants today, He wants a church that's acting like He's God and He's in them and He's their God. And He's moving for them. Hallelujah. If they call on Him, He responds to them. Hallelujah. They call on that name. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. In closing, there's a story. Just calling on the name of the Lord. A believer calling on the name of the Lord. I don't know if you remember back in the early 70s in the Canary Islands, they had two jumbo jets, two 747s collided. One was taking off and one was landing and they hit each other. I forget, boy, how many people died. I mean, because they carried like 400 passengers. And they collided and hit each other. I'll never forget reading a story about that and that collision. There was two guys sitting together, both of them Christians. Two guys were sitting right beside each other in the seats. And this is one of the things is getting yourself over where the Word of God is real to you, is living that kind of life is real. They were sitting there in the plane and they were in the plane that was taking off. And they were going down through and the other plane that hit them hit across the top of their aircraft and that stuff. But it just, he was sitting there and he said when the two planes collided, he said the noise, the crash, and man, he said it was incredible. And he said, he was sitting in his seat And he said their plane had come to a stop, and he said he was sitting down down by the wing section. He was sitting toward the wing and toward the end of the back part of the wing where the flaps are. But he said he looked up the front of the plane, and he said when he looked up at the front of the plane, now beside him was another friend of his, a Christian, sitting beside him. But he's sitting there, and he said all he could see was a fireball coming down from the front of the plane, coming down through. Now, I don't know if you've ever flown on a 747. They're really high on the inside. I've been on a number of times. You don't jump up and touch the ceiling in a 747. They're high. They're big on the inside. And he said he was sitting there. He saw it. And he said the first thing that he said, Jesus! And I thought about this because I was studying that this week. You know, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We think it's just about being born again. But that word don't mean just to get born again. That word save means to deliver, to heal. And he said, Jesus! And he said, just in a split second, he said, I looked up and there was a hole in the roof overhead where I was. And he said, I don't know how it happened, but he said, the next thing I know, I'm pushing myself out that hole. Well, I'll guarantee you he didn't jump up there. I've been on one of them. You didn't jump up there. He said, I pushed myself up right out. He said, slid down over to the side of the wing and walked off the wing and stepped off and walked away from the thing. His friend next to him died. Now some people say, well, man, God had a plan. He had a reason. No, one guy called on the name of the Lord and one didn't. I'm going to tell you, times of trouble, you better know what you have in you. Most people are not prepared. The average Christian, even spirit-filled Christian, is not prepared for what's coming in their lives. Today especially. There's things coming on this earth that's going to shake you up if you ain't ready. Casual Christianity is done. Many casual Christians will just go by the wayside. They'll even just quit it. They'll quit believing in it. It's not the day and time. You find out what you are when the pressure's on. You never find out what you are when everything's going good. You might think you're wonderful. There's times I thought I was really doing good till the pressure came. And I thought, ooh, I wasn't doing so good. I wasn't doing as well as I thought I was. I need to do something about this and change something. But one of the things you don't want to do in these days and times and hard days and times, and we're in things going on out here, and I ain't preaching, oh, poor old you and pat you. I'm just telling you, I've been a soldier in battle. I was in Vietnam. I've been around a few things. And I'll tell you what, you don't wait to get good at what you're supposed to be good at. Don't wait till you get into battle to try to be good at it. You better get good at it before you go. It's one thing is get good at. Because see, when bad happens, I found this out. People run into things in their lives and there is no time to prepare. If you haven't got prepared, you can't prepare. It's too late. It's too late for preparation. Now we don't like to hear that. We like to hear like you just snap a finger. You had guys sitting in that jet, you know. As my wife did one time is when we were meeting out at with Lebanon Valley Youth for Christ, used to be out in Grace Avenue there. And one Sunday going to church, it was snowing and she slid off the road. She came down around a really slight corner, but the road was slippy and she went off the road and went down in the field. She came, got to church and she said to me, she said, I don't know what happened. She said, but I started sliding and going down off the road. And she said, I just said the name of Jesus. She said like three times. She said the name of Jesus. She said, the next thing I know, she said, I'm up on the road driving. She said, I don't know what happened. She said, I don't know what's going on. She said, I was sliding off the road. She said, the next thing I know, I'm driving down the road. So I went up to see after church where she slid off the road. And she actually did. She went down off the road to the field. Now this is one thing you can't do in a car. It's impossible. I don't care who tries it. You cannot back out on the same tracks you pull in on. You can't do it. No matter how you try. I went down there. Her tire tracks went down into the field, but no tracks coming out. But she don't remember her car going back up on the road. I said, well, praise God. Man, do a little jig over that. Hallelujah. But you know what? See, what did she do when she thought something was going on? Who did she call first? You know, most people will call something else. They'll call Roto-Rooter, or they'll call somebody, they'll call something. They'll call anything but Jesus. They get into trouble. See, I've watched it being around people get fearful. Something happens and they start into a panic. The worst thing is around people in a panic. Hate that, being around people in a panic. First thing you got to learn to do when something happens, get quiet. If you don't know how to get quiet, you ain't going to know much about ever getting a hold of God. When trouble comes, you need silence is golden. Silence is golden. I learned this over the years, folks. It works. I have never, ever was in an emergency that God has not spoken to me. Never. Every time I've gotten quiet when it happens. I don't make a decision right away just because somebody thinks a decision has to be made. Your first decisions many times will determine whether or not you'll have a miracle or you'll put up with just what the world puts up with. I have seen supernatural manifestations by stopping. I have seen them. Getting quiet. Getting quiet. I've seen bleeding really bad, touch them and the bleeding stop. Just stopping and wait. Not getting into a panic like these people do. You want to hear from heaven. Listen to what God's saying to do. The Holy, remember this, the Holy Spirit's in you. Do you think the things going on around you, He's not interested in? He's interested in those things around you, the things you're going through. Right now, right at the time, He's interested in helping. He's called, we tend to call Him the helper, but we don't respond to the helper. We think it's everybody else or something else. 911, that's the help, that's the real helper. That's what we gotta have. People are afraid. What if I get out here and my cell phone don't work? Praise God. You probably have to trust the Lord. That'll be a new one. That'll be a definitely divine experience. Having to put on God? I mean, my God. I mean, I was born and raised. There wasn't no cell phone. Hallelujah. We lived and did better than they do today. Hallelujah. People had more faith in those days. I mean, people's faiths are in their phone and stuff. I want to get out here. I got to have my phone with me because what if this happens or what if that happens? Well, that's right. God runs out of cell phone range, you're done. I mean, that's what we have to. Folks, we don't realize all this stuff limits your faith. The more you, whatever you yield yourself to the most is going to either increase or decrease your faith. I mean, people don't even rely even using your memory today to try to figure everything through the cell phone and stuff. Don't use your own memory sometime. That might be a helpful deed, you know. Figure something out in your own brain, if you still have one. Well, you know what? They talk about Alzheimer's. You know, people who, they found out in the studies, people who use their mind more and do things that use their mind don't come down as much with Alzheimer's and do not have it when they get it. It usually doesn't get as severe. I've often told people, you don't need, if you're not going to use your brain, who cares if it goes? It don't matter. You weren't using it anyhow. They could sell it to somebody cheap, you know, sell it, make some money off of it. This is very, not used very much. You like this one? There ought to be a lot of them for sale out there. I wonder if they're used. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Glory to God. God's good. Hallelujah. And He's in the business to help you today. He is in the business to help you today. See, it's one of the things that's, and we're told, the body of Christ, we pray for one another. We want to help one another. We want to bless one another. But one of the biggest things that I've found out over the years, it's one thing, you know, like a lot of times people like, you know, somebody to minister to them and give them a word or something like that. You know what I learned over the years the most? I want to hear from God for me. Because you know what? 99.9% of my life I'm living out here with not somebody to lay hands on me and not somebody to do it. And I found out that's where I need to hear from God. And I just want to, you as a believer, Just like with myself, the majority of supernatural manifestations that happen through me do not happen in a church. They happen outside of church. The majority of the time, it happens outside the church. And just like with yourself, you want God to speak to you. You want God to direct you in your life. And I'm going to tell you what, He wants to. He wants to manifest Himself more. I know when I was a young Christian, the Lord spoke to me one time about His people. And He said, you know, like concerning His people, He wants to reveal Himself. He said, He wanted to reveal Himself to His people more. He talked about healing. He said, I want to heal my people. He said, I want to do it more than they want it. I want to do it. You know, we look at is today, you know, we have, you know, too many, from a ministry standpoint, too many people are stars. And we look to them and we're looking to them for guidance. We're looking to them. And you know what? I'll tell you, I think God's pulled the rug out under a lot of this. I mean, 2020, all the false prophecies and all the big name guns saying all this stuff, and they were wrong about it all. Out here running their mouths and talking, and you know, they're out here doing sick. Because you have the Holy Spirit as much as they do. They may have a certain gift to teach or something like that, but that doesn't mean they know any more about flowing with the Spirit. I'm convinced of this. I think a bunch of them don't know how to flow with the Spirit. I think they've gotten away with a lot of stuff over the years. I'll tell you what, you're children of God. You are. I used to go as a young Christian. I'd just go in my bedroom and I'd go and I'd take my Bible and I had a little tape recorder, you know, a little recorder, and I'd throw cassettes in and I'd listen to stuff. I'd read the Bible, I'd study, and I'd pray, and I'd seek God. And I'll tell you what, as a young Christian, I was just a young Christian, I had more encounters with God in that room. I learned to know God in that room. People don't have a personal relationship. That's what I had. I would go there and meet with God, and I would go there, and God would reveal Himself to me in that place. And I would go there. I wasn't preaching. I wasn't doing anything. I was just a Christian. And I just wanted to know the things of God. I just wanted to learn. I just wanted to understand. People talk about God revealing Himself. I wouldn't even reveal Himself to me. I didn't want to listen to everybody else's story about God. I wanted to have my stories about God. Every Christian ought to have supernatural stories in their own life about God. We have relegated it to other people in ministry, telling them, great, have them, but you need your own. Hallelujah. God does for you because He wants to. It's His desire. He loves you. You're His children. Hallelujah. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. I don't have more Holy Ghost living in me than you have in you. It's the same Holy Ghost. I don't know how He stays and all. I don't know how that works. But I ain't going to... He says He does. So anyhow, I'm just going to believe it. And believing it, it's worked for me. It's worked. And it works for you. He's in you. There's nobody He likes better. There's nobody He wants to reveal more to. Say, well, maybe I messed up in my life. Well, join the club. We all messed up. But you know, He hasn't quit. So one thing is I noticed about Him. He don't see Him ever quit. You know, His mercy is incredible. You know, I would have quit on America many years ago. But He hasn't quit. He still has His preaching here in this thing. I'll tell you why. He hasn't quit. God's heart's still toward people. That don't change. We're still people. We're His people. You know, if you study things about Israel as a nation, we're living in a day and time. God said He is going to fulfill for Israel because of promises that He had made back thousands of years ago. He made promise concerning the nation of Israel. And the Bible says this concerning God saving Israel in the last days during the time of the tribulation. It says this. He said, I'm going to do it for my name's sake. He's not going to do it for them. I made the promise. I'm just going to do it. And I've often thought, if God would do that for a people who had turned their back on Him, God had done it for a people who rejected the Messiah, a people who didn't, what does He think of the church? Would He back out on us? Would He turn? I want to save them. I don't care what they think of it. I'm going to go deliver them. That's what He says in Israel. That's what I'm going to do. I said as good as I'm going to do it. Hide and watch. Hey, God, what about the church? We haven't rejected. We don't say we don't want him. Does anybody here don't want him? You're at the wrong place. We want him. Will he show up for us? Sure enough. Will he save us? Sure enough. Hallelujah. We may have messed up, but he hasn't quit. The Bible's still the same. Come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. If you haven't done that, you ain't lived yet. Hallelujah. We've all at times. And you know what his answer was? It wasn't enough that God said, look, you need mercy. Mercy is needed. You don't need mercy if you ain't done nothing wrong. You need mercy because you done messed up. But he didn't say, I'm just going to give you mercy. Grace is God's ability that works on your behalf. That's what grace is. Grace isn't something. They turn it, grace is just favor. I have a lot more than favor with God. A lot more than just favor. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to give you grace to help you. What? So you don't get into that mess again. I have something more for you. Hallelujah. Well, today he does. Today he has much more for us. I'll tell you what, we have asked for too little. We have expected too little. Hallelujah. Expect a lot. He's a great God. Father, I just want to thank you today. Father, because truly your kindness, your goodness and mercy toward us is absolutely phenomenal. It's incredible. Father God, we're standing in your presence today, not based on our performance or what we've done at all. Lord God, we have been sanctified wholly by faith in the name of Jesus. You've made us priests and kings of God. You've made us temples. You've put the Holy Ghost in us. And Lord God, none of it was done by any of our own abilities. It was done by the great work of our Master and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was done by Him. And you, Lord God, in your great wisdom and love, came and said, you know, if you call on that name, I'll save you. I'll deliver you. Hallelujah. I'll make you a temple of God. If you confess Jesus as your Lord, I'll make you a king and a priest. Hallelujah. Lord God, you did these things. You set us apart to yourself. You put the great Holy Spirit inside of us. The great teacher. And all of this was done, Lord God, because of kindness and mercy. Lord, naturally, it doesn't make any sense that somebody would do such a thing for people. Because, Lord God, the value of it, this whole world and everything in it, and this whole universe and all of whatever would be worth something, isn't even worth near what it was, the salvation of one person. Because, Lord, all of it could never have saved one individual. None of it. And you said all that we had to do was come by faith and believe. Lord, that the great miracle of the new birth would take place, that we would become your children. Lord, forgive us that we would think in any manner, any way you would hold any good things back from us. Forgive us, Lord God, that we would think in any way. Lord God, Lord, that you have drawn back. Lord, you haven't drawn back to your people. In your loving voice, you still call out. You're still calling and saying words like, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you that you've given us the place of rest. I thank you, Lord God, that you're the God that has given us joy in times of trouble. Lord God, you've given us peace and rest when trouble has knocked on the door and sometimes even seemed to almost knock down the door. Yet, Lord God, you're the God of rest and peace for your people. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, you are going to uphold us. You have held us to this time. Even, Lord, many have not recognized, but you have been been holding us. You have been upholding us. And Lord God, many have not even noticed. But Lord God, we want to notice because truly You have upheld us. You have kept us till this hour. And Lord God, I want to thank You. You have a future plan for us that's glorious. And Father God, we don't want to enter into this future alone. Lord God, we have friends and we have loved ones that we want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. We want them to come to this place, Lord God, to know this wonderful Jesus, this glorious Jesus, Father, Your wonderful Son that You sent. And Lord God, Lord, I can hear the bell of salvation and healing and deliverance ringing again. I can hear it, Lord God. I can hear it across the nation, that bell ringing again where the gospel is going out and men's hearts are gripped and grabbed by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus and hearts are turned back again to the living God. Hallelujah. That again across this nation, the voice will ring out again that there is a Savior and His name is Jesus and He is with us. Hallelujah. He is among us and walking with us. Lord God, that the Church of Jesus Christ will rise up in its glory once more and walk in its place. Hallelujah. Lord God, a people who are not afraid, not worried. We're not wringing our hands. Hallelujah. Lord God, a people ready for this day and hour for the return of our Master. And we're calling to those to join us. Join us to come. Hallelujah. Come, because it's time. It's time to leave. Hallelujah. It's time to leave. And Lord God, I thank You. They're coming in from the north and the south and the east and the west. They're coming to the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're calling on the name of the Lord. And salvation is flowing like a mighty river in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we thank You, Father God. Father, I just want to thank You. Oh, Lord God, we just desire to be used in this time, to be a part of Your plan, to a part of Your purpose, Lord God. Hallelujah. That Jesus Christ will be glorified and magnified. Lord God, we know we can't do things to repay what the wonders and the glory You've given us. Lord God, we're not trying to pay it back. We just want to, Lord God, be a part. Hallelujah. We just want to be used. We want to be vessels of honor. Hallelujah. We want to be vessels of gold and silver, Lord God. Hallelujah. We want to vessels, Lord God, that the imprint of the name of Jesus is upon it. Hallelujah. That men will see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.